Glad you're joining us here on the Newsmaker segment here today, and we're pleased to have with us on his way through Emporia, Kansas Secretary of State Scott Schwab. Scott, good morning. Glad to have you in.
Good morning. It's always good to be back and love Emporia. And despite the cold weather, I'm ready for the real spring, not the fake spring to come in.
Right. Well, you know, things, we talk about the cold temperatures, but things have really been heating up in Topeka.
Correct.
In a number of different ways. And I know there's a number of bills that are still in front of both the Kansas House, Kansas Senate. And really kind of the way it sounds is this is a chance to talk about the Secretary of State's office and the legislative agenda that you're hoping to see lawmakers pass.
Yeah. So when we come in through an election cycle, whether it's election security or security and systems, you know, it's like, well, we're secure today, but is it going to work for tomorrow? Mm-hmm. And you're constantly improving. You're never set in concrete and say you're done. So as we go through processes, we're like, hey, well, why don't we do this? Or a state did this. It worked real well. Let's try to do that and try to make the pitch to our legislature with a bifurcated governor's office versus legislature, supermajority Republican, Democrat governor. We are not picking fights. We're trying to get improvements that we can get across the floor of the House, across the floor of the Senate, and signed by the governor. And we try not to be contentious. We try not to be controversial, but sure. Constantly improving the agency.
Yeah. Talk a little bit about the process for setting the legislative agenda. We'll talk about the key points that you've developed here in just a second, but talk about kind of how you set those goals and objectives and the conversations that take place maybe either between department heads and lawmakers or maybe department heads across the country when it comes to this.
It's a conglomeration of all of that. Sometimes you get a constituent saying, hey, how come this happens? We're like, well, we didn't know that happened. And so then we try to stop it and we realize that we need to change the law to fix it. Sometimes it's just a good idea. When I first ran for Secretary of State, somebody said, why do we have to file our businesses every year? Why don't we do it every other year? Make it less administrative burden.
Well, I remember you bringing that up a couple years ago. Yeah,
we've got that up and running with the new computer system. And sometimes, like, we've been trying to get off this computer system for 7 years, and there's four filings that are on the computer system. All of those four filings are filed with different areas of state government already, and nobody asks for it. So rather than convert them off the system, why not just ask the legislature to delete that so we don't have to have that anymore.
Sure.
And then all of a sudden we're off a computer system. Those are the type of things that kind of direct your legislative agenda each year.
How much coordination is there, I guess, when it comes to this? Specifically, I'm going to talk about in Kansas when it comes to you, your staff, and then talking with lawmakers about what needs to go forward.
Yeah, even before we get to the lawmakers, if we're dealing with something, for example, when we became critical infrastructure and I ended up getting special clearance for Homeland Security, we didn't want some of that stuff being subject to CORA. But when you're talking about open records, now you're talking about, you know, the Kansas Association of Broadcasters. Well, they want access to that stuff. Mm-hmm. Yep. So we want to make sure we're negotiating with the stakeholders to make sure we're all on the same page and we have an agreement way before we get it to the legislature. And because the bill's got a better chance of passing if we say, hey, we already got agreement, all parties involved are good with it, and then it makes it an easier vote for them to say, well, if the parties want it, there's no reason for the legislator not to.
Right. We're joined here by Kansas Secretary of State Scott Schwab on our Thursday Newsmaker segment here today. Let's talk about the specific points that you've either brought up here with lawmakers or you're going to be bringing up here soon.
Yeah, well, there's a couple. So, for example, we're changing some of the filings in our office that we don't need to have files in our office. They were done some in the early 1900s that we just never modernized. Mm-hmm. And so we're asking them, and that's passing through. One of the other things on the business side of things for business filings, we found out there's out-of-state players that'll send to you, for example, a letter that says you may not be in good standing with the Secretary of State's office. Give us $300 and we'll check, which you can go to our website and do that for free. So we're saying if you're going to do this, you have to put a disclaimer and say, or you can go to the Secretary of State's website for free and check. And we found out even some legislators got scammed by that one. So we're putting that in law. And then also one of the things we work with is the administration gives us a list of temporary driver's license of legal residents, but they're not yet citizens.
Okay.
We want to make sure they're not on our voting rolls. So this has nothing to do with illegal immigration or legal immigration. It's just making sure our data is secure. And while not all governors have been as helpful in that area in the past as Governor Kelly has been, and so we just want to put it in statute. So going forward, we can make sure our voter list has that integrity. So those are some of the things working their way through the legislature right now.
Before we start talking about election-specific items, this really kind of points out the varied nature of your office? Because I think a lot of people, they hear Secretary of State, and they may think it's just one thing. I think a lot of us think it's elections and elections only. That is not at all the case.
Correct. So when we were formed as a state, we have a governor, lieutenant governor, you have secretary of state, attorney general, and treasurer, and then the insurance commissioner is there by statute. And back then, the secretary was the secretary for the state. But as government grows, as economies grow, now you need a secretary just for ag, one just for commerce, one just for revenue, one for labor. And then where you wasn't big enough to have its own secretary stayed with our office, like business filings, apostasies, which is a form of notary for international notaries, and of course, elections as well.
Talk a little bit about the elections, because, you know, we'll talk a little bit about preparations for this year's and next year's election cycles here in just a little bit. But there's been some buzz about, I think it's SB4, which changes up, if memory serves me correctly, that changes the advance voting timetable, unless I'm wrong on that.
I think what SB4 is gets rid of the 3-day grace period.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, so, and I've been consistent. That is a policy decision by the legislature. And this is something I learned from former Representative Joan Wagnon under the Sebelius administration, because she used to be a legislator, and she and I did not agree much as a conservative Republican, but she did tell me something that was really, you're the policymaker. You make the policy, we'll execute on the policy. And respecting those various branches of government and the roles they play, should it be 3 days, 2 days, no days, 7 o'clock in Election Day, that is up to the policymakers, and we'll do what we're told. Mm-hmm. I see quality arguments on both sides, but we'll do what we're told. Political dynamics, I don't see the governor signing it, and I don't know if they'll have the votes to override it either.
Right. From your perspective, and I know that your role basically is I'm going to do what's indicated here by the legislature. What are you hearing as the benefits to shortening down the window, and what are the benefits that you see of keeping that window the way it is, or maybe making some minor modifications as opposed to a larger change?
Right. So it was national news. I picked a fight with the Postmaster General last year because I was pretty frustrated that our ballots were getting stuck in Kansas City, Missouri. And I don't like the idea that a Kansas ballot leaves the state.
Right.
To show back up in the state.
Yeah.
That's why I've always been advocate for drop boxes. The special practices and procedures the post office puts in November, they don't do that for the primary. So you'd odds of you mailing your mail, because every state has different primaries, but election day in November is the same statewide, so they can make it uniform. So if in primary, if you mail your ballot to the post office, there's less of a chance of it actually showing up at the clerk's office than if you do it in the November election. And so they say, well, let's just take out that variable and let's just send it at 7 o'clock on Tuesday. Legitimate argument. But then there's thousands and thousands and thousands of ballots that were cast legally before Election Day that didn't show up till the Friday after. And the
right.
reason why Chris Kobach and a clerk out of Douglas County, Jamie Hsu, compromised on the 3-day was because they shut down a whole bunch of processing centers in Kansas. The only one in Kansas that's still here is Wichita. So if you're in southwest Kansas, it either goes to Lubbock, Texas, or Santa Fe, New Mexico. Northwest Kansas goes to Denver. Northern Kansas goes to Omaha. Eastern goes to Kansas City, Missouri. And southeast Kansas goes to Joplin. Just to show up across the street. So this is why the one thing I was clear with the legislature, if you're going to get rid of that 3-day grace period, then you got to let me have regulation, let me have my drop boxes. Because
right.
that gives that voter a legitimate opportunity to get that ballot into county hands by 7 p.m. on Election Day.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the things, too, when it comes to elections that's been a major concern, you know, over the last 5 years is, you mentioned here about ballot security. And I think every time that you've been here, we talk a bit about ballot security. What concerns are there about ballot security? And are those concerns, have they been validated?
We're always concerned because we want to make sure we're doing the right things. And, you know, Tammy Vopot was one of the best clerks we had in this state. She's here for years, and now Amy Jackson's taken her place. And so that's a transition. Now, Amy's worked in the office, so it's not like a huge jump for her to be able to learn it. But we have new clerks, and we have new poll workers, and making sure they know how to handle those ballots in a secure fashion. That's a bigger concern. I'm not so concerned about a bunch of banditos coming across with guns, shooting them up in the air, and stealing bags of ballots, you know, or or a poll worker sliding them into their car. That just doesn't happen, especially in Kansas, because we always have two people, two different parties that are handling these election ballots and election equipment. But really, it comes down to training. So we hired someone to do a procedural audit of 105 counties, say, here's how you, and make sure everybody had the same procedure from Southwest Kansas to Northeast Kansas.
How important is that? It's making sure that everybody does things in a standardized manner.
It's becoming more and more important, because coming out of previous election cycles, if there was an error, people said it was fraud, which is not true. It's like saying, well, he's not a citizen, oh, therefore he's here illegally. Well, that's a judgment call that you can't make. Just because someone made an administrative error doesn't mean it was fraud. And so the more consistency we have in procedures, less errors, variance, and waste, and therefore less accusations, and then you increase the trust of the election outcomes.
Yeah, and the trust is so
critical. It's huge. It's huge.
And you see that more than I do, even as a news reporter, just you see that on a daily basis.
Yeah, and you know, we've been through the thick of it, as being the accusations of vote fraud in Kansas. They think they're accusing me, but really what you're doing is you're accusing your neighbors who actually do the election, because they're the feet on the ground and do the thing.
Yeah, Scott Schwab, Secretary of State of Kansas, joining us here on our Newsmaker segment here today. Speaking of election stuff, on a brighter note, let's talk about kind of the preparations that are going on here, because this is a small-scale election. You're looking at cities, mayors, city commission, city council, school boards. Big election, obviously, next year, gubernatorial coming up. So what preparations are you having for both sets of elections, and how is the preparation similar or different?
Well, it's mostly different than similar. Obviously, most of the polling places will be the same, you know, and normally in this year, there's a little bit lower turnout. Although, because we've turned have a primary every August and a general every November, it has been trending upward. But we don't certify this election unless there's a constitutional amendment on the ballot in August and November this year. We don't certify it. The county certify it, and it's done. It's all local government, and it's a form of federalism I love in Kansas, because we believe in local control. And then coming into next year, and full disclosure, I'm running for governor, you know, so I'll be wearing two hats, but I promise the integrity that I will not compromise my role, no more than previous secretaries have. But coming into next year, it's going to be the same thing that we did before, is where are gaps? Do we have gaps? How do we fix them? And then start hitting the road and educate. Here's the deadlines. Here's, you know, if you're not 18 by the filing deadline, but you will be by election day, go ahead and register to vote. You'll be able to participate. You know, here's the, and any changes in the law. Ever since I first ran for Secretary of State, I didn't want drastic changes, because we had so many of the previous years with voter ID, proof of citizenship, then not proof of citizenship, and things like that. I want to make sure going into these major election years that if you're going to do a major change, you do it in a year like this year, where there's more capacity to meet the change, not next year where it's going to be a lot more hands on deck, a lot more eyes watching too.
Got it. Understood. Well, Scott, anything else that you wanted to add here for us this morning before we wrap things up and let you head on your way?
Well, you can vote Kansas.gov. And I always tell people, if it doesn't say .gov, it didn't come from us. Thank a poll worker when you go vote this fall. And also, if you have the time and the bandwidth, go be a poll worker. If you have any questions about the security of our elections, go be a poll worker, and I promise that'll ease your concerns.
Good deal. Well, Scott, thanks so much for joining us here today. Best of luck here with the election cycle this year, and we'll see you hopefully very soon.
We'll be back. Thanks, Chuck.
All right, Kansas Secretary of State Scott Schwab, our Newsmaker segment guest here today on KVOE Live and Local.